Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, and while in college, he was hit by a drunk driver, leaving him in a coma, and his basketball dreams shattered. In 1992, he founded On Time Transportation, Inc., a non-emergency medical transportation firm that provides 24/7 service for clients suffering various injuries. And since 2005, he's been the founder of the Horatio Williams Foundation. His name, Horatio Williams, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Horatio Williams, a most amazing man who's doing fabulous things for our young people in the city of Detroit. Horatio, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's an honor to be on.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Okay. Well, I grew up on the East Side. My mom, she was a single parent mom until I was around about 7 or 8. She got married to the greatest gentleman in the world. His name was Melvin Fields. Very nice man. They worked together and they ended up getting married. And just grew up on the East Side. I went to Field Elementary. Then I went to Bustle Middle School. They ended up going to Osborne High School and got a scholarship to go to Tuskegee University. So it's just been a blessing. And I had a tragic accident down in Tuskegee. So my dreams of playing basketball was all shattered. And we're just trying to figure out what I was going to do. And the Lord sent me this way of doing medical transportation. And after that, I was able to move forward to help people with their lives, help people provide for their lives.
Horatio, what's the biggest thing you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your stepdad?
Well, it's to give back and love people. My mom, she was heavy off into the church, and she ran, you know, Sunday school and all that stuff. So she was just very big in that and just loving people. You know, back when we was raised up, you didn't have to have your doors locked. All the doors was open. So anybody would be in the house that you didn't know and they can grab a bite to eat. And everybody became friends and family.
As you mentioned, you grew up on the East Side and you lived at the Detroit East Side Center, which had a huge effect on you. Why so and how?
Well, you know, back when we was growing up, it was no video games or anything. And we was just always stuck in the house. We always wanted to get out the house. And that was the only thing in the community that was a safe haven for us, that our parents knew we could go, and they had counselors there that really cared about us. I remember a couple of them vaguely, Charles Smith and Mr. Foster. They just was great mentors and great guys for the kids. They showed that they cared. Then they gave us some tough love, and that helped mold me as a man too, dealing with Mr. Foster and Mr. Smith.
You mentioned that you went to Tuskegee University on a basketball scholarship. Horatio, how good were you?
I was pretty good. I was tough. So I was committed, and I knew how to get the ball in the basket. And I was just one of them guys that never gave up, you know, so I was real tough.
For our listeners, if you remember Charles Oakley, okay, this man looks like Charles Oakley facially and physically as well. When you went to Tuskegee University, Horatio, what were your dreams?
Well, you know, anybody that plays basketball, their dream is always to go to the pros. I always wanted to be an accountant. I love numbers. And that was my dream, was just going to the pros and living that life. But God has something else for me.
Speaking of which, let's go back to October 10th, 1989. Man, 31 years ago.
Yep.
Tell us about that day.
Well, actually, it was after practice. I was riding a bike over to a friend's apartment, went by there, and we did a little studying. Then I had to go back to my dorm, and I got on the bike. It was dark, and we had two-lane roads. And once I left, I got on two-lane road. That's all I can remember. If I would have passed away, it wouldn't have been a painful death or anything, because I don't remember anything. I was just out. So it was a tragic night. And once I got in the ambulance, I can see people just – I was hallucinating. I seen a lot of people saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't die, don't die. Until I got to Auburn. They had shipped me down to Auburn University Hospital, which was around about 35 minutes away. So once we got there, I woke up. When I woke up out of the coma, the first person was there was my mom. Then I was like, what's going on? I didn't know what happened. So,
well, you were in a coma for 5 days. Your tibia and fibula bones on the left leg were broken. A ruptured artery in your right shoulder. All your ribs were broken. Yeah. They weren't sure you were even going to live.
Exactly. Exactly. The cop that seen me later, he said, I don't know what you're doing, but you keep doing it, because when I got there, you was dead.
And your mom said something to you that gave you hope, gave you purpose. What did she say?
Well, it's always something. You always can do something else besides your dreams and just put it in God's hand.
We're talking to Horatio Williams, who now runs the Horatio Williams Foundation. And I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisula. We're with Horatio Williams. And in 1992, he founded On Time Transportation, Inc., a non-emergency medical transportation firm that provides 24/7 service for clients suffering various injuries. Almost 30 years ago, how did that come about?
Well, actually, I was when I got back home from college from my injury, it was a gentleman I used to play basketball with. He was a little older than us, and he was an attorney. And back in 85, they had the Brewer Building fire down there, a law firm fire. He was a lawyer, and he jumped out of the window. His name was Saunders Dorsey. He jumped out of the window, and he became paralyzed, a paraplegic. And I saw him at the radio store, and he was like, hey, if you want to work by my house in the morning, and we can get something started. So I was like his aide, his personal assistant, and he had a medical transportation company at the time. He started due to his injury. So back in 91, 92, he said, well, I'm back. I want to practice law full time. This is what I'm going to do. And once he did that, he gave me a van and a car, and it was no turning back, you know. And by the grace of God, it was no turning back. And he's been a blessing to me, a great mentor to me. And things that I didn't know, I was able to ask him, and he gave me a lot of wisdom and just gave me some good directions. And when I say that, at that age, I didn't even know how to do a deposit slip. So he taught me how to go to the bank and do a deposit slip. He showed me a lot of things that I didn't learn in school, some on-hand stuff that I didn't learn in school. So it was just a blessing of being around him, his leadership, his honesty, and a lot of times it was some tough love. You know, as a young person, you always have your vision, and you don't really want to listen. You don't want to listen to the older person. But once I started listening to him, the better off I became. And I recommend that to a lot of young men. Get your mentor and listen to him.
Speaking of listening, over these last 29 years, your firm has helped thousands of clients. What have those clients taught you, Horatio?
Well, they taught me how to care about somebody, because a lot of them have head injuries. Just imagine someone walking one day, getting a fatal accident, now he got a head injury, he can't take care of his own self, or he paralyzed. So it taught me, don't take advantage of life. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy life. So just seeing them people and being able to help. And I've been through that same journey. I was in a wheelchair, and my mentor company was the company that picked me up. So, and now I became a patient to owning a company. So it just taught me a lot about life and how we should help and support each other and just try to make the right decisions. And it taught me, the main thing it taught me, that a vehicle is a weapon if you're not using it in the right way. So I try to encourage all the young people, do not drive fast. Take your time. If you got to be somewhere and you think you got to get there on time and it's traffic, it's always good to be late than to get hurt.
If somebody wanted to reach out to you guys for services, what do they do?
They can go to ontimeplus.org, or they can give us a call at area code 313-567-4945. 313-567-4945.
We're talking to Horatio Williams, who in 1992 founded On Time Transportation, Inc., a non-emergency medical transportation firm that provides 24/7 service for clients suffering various injuries. Horatio, let's jump to 2005.
Okay.
And you get a crazy idea. What was that idea?
Well, back then we had a contract came out. It was the paratransit contract that had came out, and we was the minority piece to that contract. And my old middle school coach came back and said, I need you to come and fix the rims in the gym and do something for these kids. So we went over there, did a basketball camp, and the basketball camp was supposed to be for 3 days. It ended up being a month and a half. So after that, I rewarded all the kids, and we took a bus load to Cedar Point. And after that, that bus load turned out to 785 last year. So my goal was to give back and be a part of the community. A lot of people don't come back and be a part of their community, and that's something I always wanted to do, is come back and show my appreciation for the people who supported me and worked with me as a kid.
And that started the Horatio Williams Foundation, which today has 16 educational programs, over 3,000 kids, 100-plus volunteers, 60,000 people have been impacted. Lives changed because of this. Talk about some of these programs that you have.
Well, we started out because we was working with athletes with SAT, ACT testing, because I've seen a lot of athletes that was able to go play college ball was not just good enough to pass the test at that time, or they wasn't getting the proper tools to pass the test. So we started out there, and we started getting some great results with some athletes and kids, and other kids started coming. And we had athletes come from Brother Rice, Dakota, Rumless, Belleville. I mean, it was based for the inner city, but people just started coming from everywhere. So it's just been a blessing with that program. Then we have a robotics program with AVL engineering firm send volunteers down every Saturday to work with our third, fourth, and fifth grade. And they do Lego robotics and coding. Then we added a second and third grade reading program for the kids. So we got a culinary arts, which Coca-Cola gave us a grant for $100,000 for all women cooking class, which we did it for 3.5 months. So them are some of the programs that we have here. and we got a drama class. We did our first youth play with Mike Matthews here a couple years ago. So that's just a variety of things. We always mentoring. We're doing that 24/7, just mentoring these kids. So we're always reaching out and trying to feel. We just collaborated with Fiat Chrysler and did 17 produce boxes for the community. And we went to the senior complex and passed them out because a lot of them didn't have transportation. They were so appreciative of having that food. And we just tried to do something healthy instead of giving them a box of sugar. We wanted to give them some healthy food.
If you want to learn more, www.HoratioWilliamsFoundation.org. You just completed a program with 50 kids with IEP, learning disability. Tell us about that program.
Well, it was a great opportunity. Usually we do it in-house, but due to COVID-19, we was able to do the program virtually. And we had kids from all over the state of Michigan join this program. And it was very interesting. It was great. Every day they was able to listen to an entrepreneur. We had an entrepreneur come on every day to try to target each field that these kids would want to be a part of. And it worked out great. I mean, we got some great results. And the great thing about it, there was a part of the Detroit Youth program where they was able to get paid to be a part of this program this summer. So it was a blessing to help them kids and the parents, and just to have the participation of the parents and the kids. We did a barbecue on the last day, a social distance barbecue, so the kids can actually come and meet each other physically instead of just seeing each other on a video screen.
We're talking to Horatio Williams, and his programs run on Saturday when school is in session, and then the programs run Monday to Friday when school is out of session. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Horatio Williams, and we're talking about the Horatio Williams Foundation, which he founded in 2005. If we could give every kid in America self-esteem, so many of these issues would go away. They all go away. What is self-esteem, and how do we get our young people to get it?
Well, I think the first step we need to make is to show them that we're committed to them. Once the kids see that we are committed to them, they don't have no problem with they self-esteem and knowing they have someone they can talk to. When your self-esteem is down, you feel like you're in a lonely space by yourself. So now when you're moving forward in life and you know you have someone you can talk to or someone you can be a part of an organization and somebody that cares, the sky's the limit for a kid, you know? So it's just, it's like any organization. Once you know you're going to work, you got your health insurance, you got your 401k, you got everything, that builds up your self-esteem. Then you're going to work and you feel, I'm working and I don't have nothing. You know, I don't have nothing but a paycheck. So I think being committed to kids and anyone, I think that builds their self-esteem.
Mr. Williams, I'm a young kid. You talk about having a male mentor or a female mentor. How do I find a good man that I can trust and convince him to take time with me?
Well, go back to what I said. You come and show that man that you committed. If you come here one day and I ask you to be back here another day and you come, then you come in the following day too. Now I know you're serious about having a mentor. And instead of you saying you come one day and you don't show up the next day, I try to make all our kids be accountable. I don't like excuses. Be accountable for your actions. If we just had a saying the other day, a young lady came up here and said her mama told her if she's on time, she's late. So always get there early and show people that you're really interested in being mentored.
All right. Another huge trait that you try to teach is leadership. Define what a leader is.
Well, I'm going to give you a good example. My intern, Daryl Urban, this summer, I gave him the opportunity to run us the summer program and make sure, you know, he had everything together. And I gave him, he's sitting right over here, I gave him a grade of 80. He said, why not 100? I said, because sometimes you was a little late and sometimes you wasn't focused. So if you're going to be a leader and you want to sit in this seat that I sit in, you can't be late because you got to pay all the bills. You got to run a whole organization. So it's not just showing up. It's being a part of everything that goes on. So now you can understand what you're a part of and where you want to go. A lot of times, a lot of leaders, they want to be leaders, but they don't have no goals and they don't know where they really want to go with this. A lot of them just want power. I don't want power. I want a great team. A leader has a great team. He makes everyone that works around him feel comfortable and safe. I don't want a hostile environment. When I come in, I want everybody to feel like we all leaders and we're all a part of the team.
Another word to use of what you just said was all great leaders have discipline.
Yes.
And I had Lou Holtz on the other week, and he said that discipline is not what you do to someone. Discipline is what you do to some for someone.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Well, actually, you letting them know what you expect out of them. And when you do something for somebody, you're not letting them expect it because you keep doing it. I'm not going to keep helping you or showing you how to be a leader, and I'm doing your job. If I give you a task, I want you to be able to do it from A to Z. Learn how to do it from A to Z. Like Lou Ho said, when you got to practice, how you going to run your practice? Your defense down here, your offense down here, your quarterbacks over here, everything. So it's a part of an organization, and you got to make sure everything is ran right, because on Saturdays, when you play, it's going to show. It's going to show. So I don't want no hiccups when it's showtime, when I'm doing the event, everybody's scattered out and they don't know what they're doing. So that's what I mean by discipline.
But your golf game has a hiccup once in a while too. So, all right, we ain't going to. You've helped tens of thousands of kids these last 15 years. What have these kids that you've served taught you, Horatio Williams?
They taught me if I show some interest in them and show that I care about them, they will give me 1,000%, not 100%, 1,000%. A lot of times our kids, household, we always look at the grass on top. All the green grass get fertilized because they hit the root. We never go to the root of the problem when it comes to the kid. So why would a kid that's getting punished every day at home because he ain't cleaned his room or swept the floor or something like that, then he get down here to the facility and I punish him again? That's not going to solve the problem. I want to ask him why he's doing this, because he keep getting punished. Why are you not being focused to do the right thing? So at the end of the day, he would know what he has to do the right thing and get the results that he wants. Everybody want to win, but they don't want to put the work in that it takes to win. So you got to be accountable for it. Again, I tell them all the time, if I ask you to be here at a certain time, that's what I need. I'm not asking you to do something I wouldn't do. So please be punctual and go from there. And that's where on time came from the transportation company.
We talked about Daryl Irving a little while ago. Tell us about Ian Jenkins.
Well, Ian, a great story. Ian went to Renaissance High School. He felt like he didn't get the opportunity to play ball like he wanted to, or be a part of the team like he wanted to. He didn't get enough playing time. So I formed this game that started the foundation called the Second Chance. And that was for all the seniors that played high school basketball but didn't have a scholarship. So I invited junior college coaches, Division II, Division III coaches to come out and see these kids. And Ian was one of the kids. He coach came down from Rochester College. And he saw Ian, gave Ian a scholarship. Ian played 4 years there. Now Ian, attorney now, and he's a sports agent. So by that opportunity and mentoring Ian over these last 7-8 years, he turned out to be a great young man. I think he's going to do a lot of great things. He's working with athletes now. I think he has his first NFL football player that he's representing now, and he's working for a law firm downtown. So them are the success stories that I like to hear and I like to see with these kids.
We're talking to Horatio Williams, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Horatio Williams, who in 2015 founded the Horatio Williams Foundation. Every August, you take 700 plus kids, young people, to Cedar Point. It costs you about $70,000 to do that. You get 13 56 passenger buses. Why spend $70,000 on a one-day trip for these kids?
Well, Jack, a lot of times these kids never get the opportunity to lead a neighborhood. A lot of these kids never left the state of Michigan. And a lot of times we don't reward the kids. You know, everything we have to give back to the kids and let them know that we appreciate it. And I know as a kid going to Cedar Point, we probably went every 3 or 4 years because it's very expensive. And I just wanted them to get an opportunity to get away from the city, have some fun. I mean, we feed the kids. I don't go inside the park. It's a group of us, the guys that play ball with me. We just stay outside the park. We barbecue for them. They come back, get chips, drinks, and all that stuff, a lot of healthy stuff. And they just had a time in their life, and just seeing kids that I had since they was 8, now they 20 years old, and they still want to be a part of it. They come and volunteer. I have kids. I went to Carl's Golfland and went to the restaurant across the street. A little kid was working. He said, "You remember me?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "I used to go to Cedar Point with you, and I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity." He said, "Y'all still doing it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to talk to my mom and see if I can go." So things like that, it's just wear on my heart. We have great sponsors. We try to cap it off at 300 or 400, but we keep getting funding in. So the more funding I get in, the more kids I invite to come.
We're talking to Horatio Williams. Horatio, over 30 years ago, while you're in college, basketball scholarship, you got NBA future written all over you. A drunk driver leads you in a coma. Your dream is shattered. You're not bitter. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know, things happen in life, and I don't think the older gentleman did it intentionally. And he was a drunk. He was driving drunk. And I just look at it. God has gave me another chance. And now I'm doing something better than being in the NBA. Instead of me signing autographs, I'm signing checks for people to help provide for their families. And over the years, I have around about 50% of my employees been with me at least 20 years or more. So that's saying I'm doing something right. Well, I'm helping them be able to take care of their family. And you just look at it. Stuff happens in life, you know. And being bitter is not going to solve the problem, you know. It's how can we help that person? There's always some good in everybody. He made a bad mistake, and you know, I just didn't even want to go down that trail with him of fighting him, getting. So if he go to jail, I'm hurt, and he go to jail. I just was not feeling that. I just wasn't feeling that at the time. I just, like, he made a mistake, and God gave me another opportunity. Let me move forward my life.
Your offices are on Antietam in downtown Detroit. If tomorrow there's a knock at the door, you go to the front door, and here's a very old gentleman who says, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm the guy who hit you on October 10th, 1989. What do you do? What do you say to that guy?
First of all, I just hug him. Tell him, come on in.
Say that again. Hug him.
First of all, I just hug him. Just tell him, come on in. Because if he took that much time to come and investigate what he did and seeing what I'm doing now, and he wanted to come and see me, have some type of love there, or some type of passion of love and forgiveness there. And, you know, and I just sit down with him and just hopefully talk to him and tell him, please don't do that anymore, you know, because the next person may not survive like I survived. So, I live my life not to be bitter. A lot of things can happen to you in life, and you got to learn how to, you know, forgive people and keep on moving.
We're talking Horatio Williams. His foundation's mission is to teach our children character-building life lessons and encourages them to take on leadership roles throughout their lives. www.horatiowilliamsfoundation.org. When we were walking through your offices, there's a sign, "God has been so good to me. When I look around and think things over, all my good days outweigh my bad days. Thank you, Lord, I won't complain." What role has faith played in your journey?
100%. I tell people every day, this is nothing that I really have done. This is just a journey that I'm on. And I know God is taking me on this journey. And my friends tell me I'm the luckiest person in the world, because whatever I do, they say I always come out victorious. But I always put my faith in whatever I'm doing, because you never know how it turns out. So at the end of the day, I just use my faith. And I'm glad my mom and my grandma and my granddad put me in church at an early age and had me believe into what I'm doing now. So it's just been a blessing. And I know I haven't did nothing different than you, Jack, or anyone. This is my calling. And my friends say, well, you're anointed with this, because things just come to me. But I think if you're doing what you like to do and what you love to do and put 100% into it, you don't have to worry about the other stuff. A lot of people do things to chase the funding that come with it. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be happy and take what I have and go home, and to be chasing it and I'm worrying and my health is not together and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, that's all I have is faith. Every day I come to this building is off of faith, because I don't know what's going to happen.
You're a huge supporter and believer of Pell Police Athletic League. How do we get the kids to trust the cops and see the cops as their helpers?
Well, I think PAL has made a turn, and I was raised up in PAL. When I was coming up, PAL was in every rec center. When I said it was in every rec center, it was a cop was in every rec center. That's what PAL was designed for, with Mayor Coleman Young, to build a relationship back up in the inner city, is to have a cop in every rec center. Now we don't have that. So how can you build a relationship with the community and with the kids if the pop is not there. So if I think if they go back to the old ways and talk to the mayor and see if they can get that structure back, I think, and a police chief, I think it'd be a win-win situation for the community, the kids, and the police force, because there's a lot of stuff going on now that shouldn't be going on. If the cops are in the neighborhood and the kids not afraid of them and they have someone to talk to, it changes the whole philosophy of what you're doing. I'm not as afraid of the cops. If they stop me, I'm gonna do exactly what they tell me to do. I believe in them. And we have one of the greatest police departments in the world here. The chief is doing a great job. The mayor is doing a great job. But at the end of the day, if we can go back to the old PAL, when I was coming up, it was the PAL logo was a cop holding a young lady in a young man's hand. That means it was a part of the community. So now, how can you go back to that? I think PAL need to go to the city, to the mayor, and go to the police chief and see how we can get PAL back the way it used to be. And we had great leaders at PAL. Willie Horton, he was a leader at PAL. Night Train was a leader at PAL. So you had great men there. You know, you had men there that was working with the kids. So when they see some men, and a lot of times they don't see that at home. You know, a single parent, you know, your mom is raising three boys. Where's the male at? But if they can go to that center, like I did Eastside Center, and it's a problem, my mom could sit down with me and the police officer that's there, and he can tell us what's the consequences and really talk to us. Now he's looking out for me every day. How you doing? You're not doing nothing wrong, such and such. So at the end of the day, if PAL get back to that, I think they'll be stronger, more powerful, and it'll be a bigger impact inside the city of Detroit.
Horatio Williams, in these times of divisiveness and craziness, you give us all hope. Keep up the great, great work.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it, and I hope someone got some out of this message, and thank you for the opportunity for this interview, and thank you again.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Prasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.